Good morning, how are y'all?
Good morning.
We got quite a few announcements here. You want to go first or last? All right. First, we got, tonight we have a special business meeting starting at 6 o'clock, right? Okay. Food or no food? All right, so if y'all didn't hear him, bring a snack or something like that if you want to. We're going to start the Revelation series after our business meeting. On the 18th, the annual meeting at the First Baptist Church in Alpena. The meal starting at 5:30, and then the meeting at 6:30. On the 20th, we have the deacons meeting at 7 p.m. October 23rd, we have a baby shower for Savannah and Jordan Cole at 4 p.m. in the fellowship hall. And then the 23rd, there's also a business meeting at 6 p.m., a regular business meeting. And then the 30th, the next Sunday, is a fifth Sunday dinner following the morning service.
Okay, so October 31st, we're still having the Hallelujah Festival Hillbilly Hoedown. If y'all would just bring candy, just leave it in Brother Laney's office, and we'll kind of divvy that out. And then sign up for the chili cook-off. The sign-ups will be next week, and we're actually going to vote on who has the favorite chili. And we also have trophies for that, so that's going to be fun. If you don't want to do chili, you can always do a side, which those are needed as well. And don't forget Sunday school classes to sign up for a game or a booth, something like that. So, all right, thanks.
So, after all that, ladies, on November 11th and 12th, we're going to have a ladies' retreat. It's been a long time since we've had one, and I'm looking forward to it. There are sign-up sheets both in the foyer and on Miss Betty's desk. It will start at 6 o'clock-ish on the 11th. We'll have dinner and then a session or two. We'll have some crafts. We're going to have a lot of great fellowship. Then we'll have a couple of sessions in the morning. And we'll be done by noon on Saturday the 12th. So please come join us. It's going to be a great time. And we need to get together again. Right? 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 Guys, we need the women to get together, right?
Anyone else have any announcements? No. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything you bless us with, Lord. I pray for everything we have coming up and all the events and just everything. God, I pray you bless this time we have together and bless us in a way to show your glory, Lord. I pray you be with us through this week, and just watch and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You feel like that, running to the Father? It's a good song, isn't it? Some folks weren't raised with a loving, godly father, and so maybe they have a little trouble identifying with that. I tried to raise my kids that way. When I listen to that song, I think about when my kids call me on the phone, that when I say hello, they say, "Dad." That's always a special feeling, Max and Deanne have a special guest with them today. It's Max, you want to introduce that baby? Or? This is his first great-grandchild. Are you happy? You look happy. Good. Well, before we take the offering, I have a couple things I want to mention. There's a car show at Car Lane next Saturday, and it starts at 10 o'clock, ends at 2. Can you believe that? These are some folks that have come and helped us for years. With our car show, and it'd be good if we would return that favor. So I want to urge you to go to that. I'm going to be going myself, and I'd urge you to go to it. It's at Car Lane, Missouri, which is not very far, and it starts at 10 o'clock next Saturday. Tonight we're going to begin the Revelation series. At 6 o'clock, we'll have a short business session at 6, just before we do the video series. And we will be voting on a new song leader. And Matt and I have visited extensively about that, and he has accepted our offer. Now we've got to make it official through the church. And so we're going to do that tonight. When you have a special call meeting, according to our bylaws, you have to give a week's notice, and we've given that last week. And so we'll be voting tonight. It's not coming out of committee, so it'll be open for a recommendation and a second and discussion, and then we'll vote. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by, and we'll have a record of your visit. Man will come now and receive the morning offering.
That's great. Hey, Lord, thank you for giving us this day to come worship you, and please bless everyone that's come together to worship you, Lord. And please bless this offering and let it go further than it normally would. In Jesus' name.
you're involved in children's church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take charge of your group right now. Amen. I've asked Brother Roger Grisham to come and bring the message this morning. Appreciate Brother Roger and his love for the Lord. You pray for him as he shares God's word with us right now.
Morning, Osage. We're going to do something just a little different this morning. Of course, you all have known me very long. You know I'm different. And that's just all I can say about that. My wife has already made the comment this morning in Sunday school. I can't take him anywhere. I get told that quite a bit. So, you know, there's something we've not been doing here at Osage for some time that I miss. And I've got a reason. I'm fixing to do this, so just be aware of that. But I'm going to give you 2 minutes to stand up and do howdy handshake time. All right? I'm going to be watching for something, so just everybody stand up, go hug your neighbor, tell them you love them, and glad to see them. I mean, the bell's about to ring. You better get back in your spot. One of the reasons I want to do that, one is I miss that. And I can tell you guys do too. All right? Today, my lesson, I kind of put a label on it. It's called body language. All right? So I was watching, and quite frankly, whenever I announced y'all go do howdy handshake time, most of y'all's body language was great. Now, some of you's like, well, they can come to me. I'm not moving. I got my assigned seat, and I'm staying right here. All right? But, boy, some of you just took off and just started hugging stuff. That's what we like to see. All right? But body language, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I watched some of y'all's body language when he announced when I was coming up here. We'll discuss that later. All right? But You know, I saw Ian's look at the spot. Well, we could have stayed at the house this morning. He's going to preach. All right, no. But, you know, body language is something I use a lot in my job. You know, for those that don't know what I do, I've been a police officer for some time now. And I don't know if I did something wrong or if I did something right, but I got put in the high school. And I deal with teenagers every day. And, you know, don't get me wrong, 98% of them kids are great kids. I have a lot of fun with them. But there's that 2% that just, you know, EGRs, as we like to call them, extra grace required. And, you know, we have those, we have to watch their body language on, you know, when I'm speaking to somebody, you know, you watch your body language on how they act, how they're going to act, what they're thinking. You know, these right here will tell you a lot when you're talking to somebody. All right? Y'all noticing what I'm doing right now with my hands? All right? When you start rubbing your hands, or you'll see, you know, lots of females will do this. They'll rub their arms when they're talking to you. They're soothing themselves. It's kind of a hug. You know, they're nervous. You know, they're soothing themselves. You know, that's what I'm doing right now. All right? And so we watch that. You know, you've always heard the cops, whenever something's going down, you hear them say, "Show me your hands." You know, yes, we're wanting to make sure they don't have something in their hands, but we're also wanting to see what they're thinking. How they are, you know. If you get some old boy, he comes up to you and his fists are clenched up, I will make some space. It's fixing to go down. All right, you know, there's a lot of different things that you watch body language. I'm a people person. I love to watch people. All right, I do. Holly goes shopping somewhere. She'll go in the store. I say, "I'm going to sit right here on this bench." And I love to watch people. You know, and I don't know, I feel like I'm getting pretty good at it, you know, watching, you know. I used to have Trey sit with me. We'd sit on the bench at Branson Landing, and we'd just see a conversation going on, and I'd start telling him what was going on. "Honey, I can't believe you spent $20 on that dress," and she'd hit him. "Well, you told me I could," you know. I'd get Trey to laughing so hard, I don't have a clue what they were saying, but that's just what I thought they were saying, you know, and just, it was a lot of different things. But I want to give you a little bit of a demonstration on body language, on how I carry on a conversation with somebody and how I see how they act. So I've got to have a volunteer, and I've messed up and did not get permission to do this. And so I just hope this person forgives me. But Monica, would you come up here, please? You notice my body language. I'm doing this here right now. So, well, but quite frankly, I had to get somebody that I knew something about. And, but, you know, so you would just have a seat here. And, you know, whenever I'm trying to talk with somebody, I try to talk with, you know, especially if it's a student I don't know, or an adult I don't know, I try to find a common denominator that we can talk about. So, Monica, how's retirement going?
Good.
Going good? You enjoying it?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm not really retired.
Well, I mean, from school, not having all that thing, getting ready for basketball practice,
yes.
Basketball season starting up, all that. Yes. Grandbaby on the way.
Yes.
Yes. You see, she's enjoying this place, yeah? And because I can tell her there ain't no anything better than them grandbabies. Amen? That's it. And they can do no wrong. I don't care what they do. But, you know, just a lot of good going on. A lot going on right now. Stuff. Well, let me ask you this. Let's say in high school, maybe algebra. Did you ever let anybody cheat off of you that sat next to you? Okay, maybe we shouldn't answer that. Thank you, by the way. But well, maybe have you ever gotten mad and thrown anything at your husband? Yeah. Was you aiming for his head? Well, maybe we shouldn't talk about that either. But now, did anybody see how she reacted different? As soon as I brought up the school, what'd she do? She moved her hand. She started touching her face. She knew, she got nervous all of a sudden. All right. She looked away from me. A lot of times somebody will, she'd already had her legs crossed. Lots of times somebody's talking to you, they'll cross their legs or they'll cross their arms. They're done. They won't talk to you. Okay? Thank you, Monica. That's all I had. So, yeah. And to clarify the throw an object thing, it was Monica was pregnant with one of the children. I don't even remember which one it was, but me and Russell had pulled a prank on her, or Russell did. And she got very emotional, and he started laughing, and she picked up a remote and chunked it at him. And she couldn't have hit it. If she'd have thrown it 100 times, but there was a bag with jars in it, and she hit that thing dead center, and glass started shattering. I just moved over to the big screen window, hoping she wouldn't throw it at me. So, and she don't always throw stuff at him, but you know, people read your body language. All right, they do every day. But I want you to think about that. How are people reading you every day? What body language are they seeing you send off every day? Whether it be at your work, whether it be with your family, wherever it would be, what are they seeing from you? And scripture we're going to be in today is going to be in the book of Mark, chapter 6. You know, and somebody here is needing to hear this today because I have no idea why God put these scriptures in my heart. This, you know, as soon as Brother Lanny come and ask me about doing this and giving him a little time off for this, you know, the Pastor Appreciation Month, you know, which we do appreciate you and you and Ewing, we appreciate you with the youth. I mean, it's just, you know, great job. You know, you need a break every now and then. So I was happy to do this, but God put this scripture. I mean, this is not what I wanted to talk about. I ain't gonna lie to you. He'd already taken my bow and arrow thing from me, so I couldn't do that one. And it's not fishing season, so I couldn't do that one. So I started praying. God put this scripture in my mind, so in my heart. So I wanted to share with you. Be the first 6 verses in chapter 6. If you would, stand with me as we read God's Word. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that he's given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are we not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the village and the circuit teaching." You may be seated. See, we see in verse 1, Jesus went back home. He had been in the region with the disciples, had been sharing the Word of God, preaching, had been in the area, and he went home. You all know as well as I do, if you go back to the hometown and you don't stop and see Mom and them, you're in trouble. All right? So he went back to the house. He went to stop by to see Mom and see Mary. And, you know, he went back to where he was raised. So he went back to Nazareth. He was, where he grew up. When he goes back, to Mom and to the people he knows, his brothers, his sisters. It's not easy telling those that are closest to you about the gospel. Now, because this wasn't just a home visit. It was a ministry trip. His disciples were with him. He didn't give the disciples a day off and say, "Y'all just go on. I'm gonna stop by and see Mom for a while, and y'all go on." So this was a missionary trip. This ministry trip. So and it goes on in verse 2 and talks about on the Sabbath that he goes to the synagogue and begins to teach. Says in verse 2 that many were there. So there was a lot of people there. Now, understand, Nazareth was not a very big place. Okay? I did some looking, looked it up, and Nazareth, they said, covered 60 acres, the whole town. I mean, that was one end to the other. I mean, you got to know your neighbor. Less than 500 people. All right, so I looked up Alpena to see how big an area it was. I thought, okay, we can relate to this. And, Alpena city limits is 1.34 square miles, which also equals 857 acres. Nazareth was 60 acres, okay? I mean, how big is our lot here? I mean, 5 acres, so... And, you put this field back here on the back, over at church, I'm talking neighbors, okay? Everybody gets to know everybody. In a small town, people get to know you. They know who you are. And he goes on, they said that many of them was astonished at what he had to say. In the Message Bible, it put it like this. He stole the show, impressing everyone. We had no idea he was this good. They said, "How did he get so wise all of a sudden? Get such ability?" What body language do you think was going on at this time? I mean, Jesus sitting there teaching, and these people are astonished. Because what they remember is a snot-nosed little teenage boy running around in the dirt roads down the streets with his brothers. And they are just overwhelmed at how well Jesus was doing. I figured, there's lots of smiling. There's lots of nodding going on. There's a little bit of praising going on. And it's like the body language is quite a thing right now. And... he's oppressing everyone. Talking about the small town, getting to know everybody, you can sometimes have fun with that. Being from Alpena, most people know a lot of different people. Alpena is one of those places you can pull into the gas station. "Hey, where so-and-so live?" And they can usually tell you. All right. But you can have fun with that, too, if you like pulling jokes. A few years back, whenever we was, God had sent us to Alpena to lead the youth there for a while, we had a member there at the church, and I won't mention her name, but he wanted to know everything. He was one of those ladies. She knew everything, and if she didn't, she would stop and ask. And I had just donated a little bit of land for the fire department to build a substation out on Denver Road. The dozer was out there. They was cleaning off the pad and everything. Well, here come that neighbor. He pulled in there. And I knew what she wanted. And I shouldn't have did it, but I did. And she pulled in there and she said, "Rog, what are you building?" I said, "Well, Glenna, turkey business ain't real good right now, so I'm putting a liquor store in." Can you imagine the body language? she looked at me. I said, I've got to make some more income. And she jumped in that car, and away she went. I ran to the house as fast as I could and got on my phone and called my mother-in-law, which went to church with this lady, and said, I am not building a liquor store. Because I knew good and well. Guess where the first call was? So I had to, of course, I seen her at church the next, she said, you stinker, you told me you found. So you got to have fun with it. So you're going to be in a small town. You know, they knew Jesus as a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. They knew Jesus as a carpenter that built things. Like I said, one of those kids that run up and down the road in this small town. And we go on to verse 3, and you see a change in the people. As they comment, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? They're not his sisters here with us. The body language started changing. They start calling him out, calling him Mary's boy. Have any of y'all that's got siblings in here ever been compared to your sibling? Because you were somebody's brother or somebody's sister, you got labeled. That's kind of, you see that. I don't know what kind of young man James and them was back in those days. But, I'm kind of taking it reading this. They wasn't angels all the time. Whether they threw rocks or what it was. But they start comparing Jesus to the brothers right away. And the body language on these people changed. And, you've got to not compare people. Y'all that's been here for quite some time, know we used to have a couple here that went to church here, Carol and Donna Suggs. Sweet people. Carol is a deacon here in the church, just awesome people. Well, Carol and them used to own a farm many, many years ago, before my time, down 103. And whenever I worked at Centaur's, I had a boss that his parents was good friends with Donna and Carol. And Russell was there when this story took place. And thank goodness he was, because he backed me up. But my boss was telling us, he said, I used to know some people from Osage. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, Carol Suggs. He said, my family was good friends with them. We used to go to their house all the time. He said, a matter of fact, he said, I remember going to their house. And he said, I love going there because we could just get on our bikes and ride it up and down the road and whatever, is freedom. Because whether y'all remember or not, 103 used to be a dirt road highway. And so he got talking about how he loved to go up there, but he said Carol always warned him not to go down the road to the next house. He said, there's kids down there are mean. He said, they'll beat the living snot out of you for no reason at all. I knew where this was going. And I said, really? And he said, yes. He said, they was mean. They was awful. He said, they were just terrible people. He said, we was told not to go down there. I said, really? I said, what was their names? He said, young bloods? He said, that's it. He said, that was it. He said, there were four of them. He said, they beat the soup out of you. They were mean. I just got this straight look on my face. I said, that's my mom you're talking about. He said, no. I said, yeah. And I looked at Russell, and Russell goes, yeah. That's his mom, his uncles, and his aunt you're talking about. He goes, well, I never met the people. I never did see them personally. I never had an affair with them, but I was just told that. You know, and automatically he judged that name. And he judged those brothers. Now, I'm not saying your husband, my uncle, and whatever. I'm smiling at Debbie. But you know, I'm not saying they didn't whoop him one time or another. I don't know, but... I've been told that was a little ornery back in those days. But, you know, he was judging by what somebody else had said. And, you know, and brothers sometimes get you a name. And, you know, Jesus was getting that name. You know, it goes on to say that they were scandalized by him. You know, I looked up that word scandalized, and the Greek word for scandalized is... scandalum, which also means stumbling block. But I want you to know, sometimes what is a stumbling block for some people is a stepping stone for others. So just remember that. So you ask yourself, so why did the people reject him? Maybe their pride. He couldn't be a great prophet or a Messiah. Because we know him, you know, we knew him. He grew up right here. That can't be him. You know, he didn't come from heaven. He run the dirt roads. So we knew him. Maybe jealousy. You know, Jesus had quite a following at that time. A lot of people following him. They'd seen his miracles, and you know, these people were still stuck in this town and didn't have the fun. Maybe it was jealousy. I don't know. It also could have been their guilt. Maybe Jesus said something that said some things that they didn't want to hear. I mean, let's be honest. How many times have you ever sat in here and Brother Lanny be preaching something and you could have been the only one here? It's happened to me. I mean, I'm looking around, see if anybody else paying attention, because what he's saying going straight to me. You know, he may have said some things that these people didn't want to hear. He may have told the truth. You know, we talked about that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Sometimes you hear the word, and it may not be what you want to hear, but it's convicting. That's what's the matter with our churches today. They're getting away from that. All right? There's too many of them getting away from that, and so we don't hurt feelings or get offended. You know, I'm getting tired of those two words. But, you know, that's why I'm glad we have a place that we still hear from the Bible. You know, if it offends you or if it hurts your feelings or whatever, then maybe you should take a look at what you're doing. Are you following God's word? You know, so it's something that could be the reason why these people started talking and rejecting him. Because the people you are closest to may or may not believe in Jesus, and whether they respond positive or negative, it doesn't keep you from your responsibility to take them the message. I mean, would you agree that speaking to family and really close friends is harder to tell people about Christ? I mean, I bet there's not a person in here that cannot think of somebody in their family right now that you need to talk to about Christ. Somebody. You know, but we keep putting it off because it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to talk about them. But realize that they are watching your body language. They are watching you every day. You know, I don't want to take credit at all. You know, but, you know, I was raised up with, you know, in a family that didn't go to church whenever I was young. My mom, my stepdad, they didn't go. You know, a lot of my aunts and uncles didn't go. It was just my grandparents didn't go. And we had really gotten involved and I started teaching the youth. You know, and I'd go to family functions and stuff, and this was just normally how it went. You know, hey, there's a cooler of beer if you want one. I'm good. You know, they seen that. They seen that we stood for something a little different. You know, we're doing this on Sunday mornings. Well, we're going to church. We'll be there as soon as church is over. And, you know, tried to do right, you know. And then, we finally got to kind of talking to my grandparents about maybe coming. I've been blessed enough to see three of the four baptized here, saved, baptized. One of my grandmas had said that she had already been saved and baptized when she was younger. And, you know, I've now seen my uncles, my aunts, all attend church now, been saved, baptized from both sides of my family. You know, and it's just, you know, I'm not saying what I did changed that, but I like to try to believe that maybe standing strong might have had an influence on that. You know, and you can do the same to your family. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, it's been a blessing. Is there still more? Yes, I still have more family that needs to hear. And all of you all do as well. And it's not easy. So it's what language are they seeing you putting out every day? What language do they see when you're at family reunions or when you're at Christmas dinner and stuff? So we go on and look at verse 4 and 5. That we see that Jesus is marveled at their unbelief. So you may ask, did they have no faith? What was the deal? Why they marveled? Or was it doubt? You see, you can only doubt what you already believe. And, you know, an atheist has doubts. His fear is that God may exist. You know, you have to believe something before you can doubt something. I mean, Christians have doubts all the time. And Satan is a master of putting doubt in your mind on whatever it is that you're thinking. You know, you look in Matthew 14 when Peter is out in that boat, Jesus comes walking on the water. And Peter had the faith, you know, to just step out on that water, just walk out. Can you imagine taking that first step? I mean, that'd be like me just stepping out here right now and think I'm going to walk to that pew and never touch that floor. I'd have to have that kind of faith. But Peter just stepped out on that water and took off walking. But then what did he do? He took his eyes off Christ and started looking around at things around him, other things. And he began to sink. Jesus reached down. He grabbed him, just like he always does all of us. Pulled him back up and said, "Oh, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me?" He believed. He had the faith. So don't let Satan, don't let the worldly things change what you see. And don't let it doubt. You know, and he goes on in verse 5, where it's saying that he could do no good deed. Mean? What does that mean on that? Did Jesus lose his power? You know, the original painting, you see this painting over on this wall. The original one was painted by Holman Hunt, and it's in the St. Paul's Cathedral. And there's been many pictures made of this. And, you know, if you look at that picture, you see Jesus knocking on a door. Why is he knocking on that door? You see a latch on the outside of that door? You will not. Why is that? Because the door has to be opened from the inside, just like your heart. All right? It goes on, verse 5, saying he could do no deed. He's seen their hearts. You see, Jesus, he doesn't force himself in. You have to open it up. And that's what he's doing. You know, he's like, I'm not going to force it on you people. You know who I am. You know what I do. You know who I believe, what I believe. And he didn't try to force it on them whatsoever. You know, you look in Revelation 3:20, and it says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and dine with him and him with me. That's all Jesus is asking. And that's what he's saying here in verse 5, is I'm not going to force myself on you. I'm not going to keep pushing on you. He's standing there at the door and he's knocking. So, Brother Matt, if you don't care to come, Monica, I want to ask you, is Jesus knocking on your door today? Are you feeling that, you know, and I want you to ask, what body language is people reading on you today? I mean, what does people see you at work? What do people see you at home? Outside these doors, I mean, guys, it's quite easy to have the good body language in here. It is. But you step outside those doors, and doubt slaps you right in the face as soon as you go out. Satan's standing out there waiting on you. So I want to invite you today that if he's knocking, come let him in. It's easy as just walking down here. Say, I want to accept him. All right. If you're struggling with your body language, how people seeing you, come pray about it. There'll be somebody come pray with you. We all have trouble. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I'm not, you walk down here, we're not going to come to you and say, well, what body language you putting off? All right? It's between you and God. All right? Eat that fly. And, make it personal. How's that family member looking at you? How are they seeing you? What are you perceiving when people see you? You may be the only Bible some of them ever read. As we sing. Thank everybody for being here today, and don't forget our special meeting at 6 for Brother Matt, and then our study for Revelations coming up. That's the most interesting, difficult book I've ever tried to read. I ain't gonna lie, but it's something that we all need to understand. So, any other announcements? No. Brother Todd, would you come and to the mic and dismiss us in prayer, please?
Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life, Lord. We thank you for the rain. Thank you for your son, Jesus. We want to thank you for this message that Roger's brought to us, Lord. We just pray that you guide us this week, Lord, and use us, guide our body language. I pray you go with us as we leave here, Lord. I pray that you forgive us if we fail you. Ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.